Hi, my friends. This is Reverend Jill Carey from Unity of Wimberley, Texas. And I'm pleased to be joining you today on this Sunday, November 22nd. And I did not expect to be doing this talk from my home. But if you're familiar with the COVID regulations or suggestions, I guess, the Austin area has just moved to stage four. So because I am 65 or older, I'm staying at home to record this talk for you for this Sunday, although I would much rather be with my production team at the church, our very small production team, to bring this video to you. So anyway, I'm glad you could be here with me, and I hope that the beginning of your Thanksgiving week is going well. Today, I'd like to speak to you from an article that was published in this month's Science of Mind magazine. It's an article called Gain Resilience and Reduce Stress. It is written by Greg Hammer, MD, and I found it a very useful article, an enlightening article, to tie together some of the themes that we've been talking about during this month when we're focused on gratitude. And I also talked earlier this month about non-resistance. So here we are in a time in which our holidays may look a lot different than they've ever looked before. And so we're called to some spiritual practices and some practical practices that are a little bit different than we may have ever had to do. But they are practices that serve us for all the rest of our lives besides just in times of crisis. In this case, the word GAIN, for gain, resilience, and reduce stress, stands for these four things: gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgment. Now, I'll be going over these one at a time. So if you're taking notes, you've got a chance to go back and put this mnemonic together for yourself. Gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgment. So these are tools that we can use not only to get ourselves through the holiday season, but also to begin to focus on certain things that will help our spiritual life to be enriched and better. And so I'd like to share with you a few things that were in this article that are so, so amazing. If you, like the rest of us, experience stress during the holiday season or are experiencing stress because of the lifestyle conditions that we're living in right now, if you're still experiencing stress over this last election cycle and some of the aftermath of it, know that your body will tell you that it's stressed. It will hold on to cortisol, and holding on to cortisol also causes you to hold on to your weight. So there are some benefits to working with the tools that we have in order to have a more peaceful life, a more resilient life, a life in which our gratitude is more constant and consistent, and it is beneficial to us and to the world. So the first thought in this practice is gratitude. So we have a lot to be grateful for. It's hard to lose sight of that sometimes because of the conditions under which we're living. But we can look back to times in the past, not only the 1918 influenza pandemic, which is the only thing that we've got to compare today's time to in modern history. But we can look at other times in our lives in which we were stressed, in which there was a lot going on, in which we were not able to do all the things that we wanted to do that were part of our regular routine. And so this kind of disruption can cause us to lose sight of our spiritual practices. It can cause us to become more stressed. It can cause us to not be the full creation that we were intended for when we got here. So I would suggest to you that you practice something that has been put out by Duke University, and you can find this on Duke's YouTube channel. It's called Three Good Things. And so in our Wednesday night classes this month of November, we have been keeping a 5-minute gratitude journal every day that has different prompts that make us really think about the things that we're grateful for in specific areas in our lives that we might not otherwise put our attention on. It's been a very good exercise because once you get in the habit of expressing gratitude, of acknowledging gratitude, then it kind of becomes like a stone rolling downhill. It just picks up more and more and more momentum. And that's good for us. It's good for us to be able to not only give thanks for what we have, but also to give thanks for the things of God that are coming forth in our lives that we cannot yet see. This is the mature level of spiritual life that I spoke about last Sunday. And so I would remind you that giving thanks in advance of the blessings that are coming your way is a sophisticated, I would say, way for us to practice trust, for us to practice a relationship with our Creator by giving thanks for everything that is in manifestation that is coming our way. If we try to plan out too much of our lives, you know, they say man plans and God laughs. If we try to plan out too much of what our goodness is going to look like, we might actually miss out on the goodness that is intended for us. So as you practice your gratitude, start noticing the things that maybe have not crossed your radar before. This is the part of the lesson about intention. You see, our brains are wired. This article says that, thank you from Dr. Hammer, our brains are wired with a negativity bias. Yikes. I mean, if we're already wired that way, then we've got something that that we need to work with in order to start rearranging the neural pathways in our brains, which we are capable of doing. I would just give you a little parenthetical story here about a book I read many years ago called Why God Won't Go Away, written by a neuroscientist who did studies of people who were meditating, like monks and nuns, also civilian people who were focusing on images or music that brought them joy, that brought them peace, that brought them laughter. And he studied the thermal responses in the brain, in which areas would light up that would not normally be lit up. They would get warmer. There would be increased blood flow in the brain. And it would show that those things start retraining our brain, which is still hooked to our fight or flight brain that we were developed with at the very beginning, where we had to really fight for our safety, for our food, for our shelter, for the things, for community, for things that made us comfortable and made life easier. So in this study, they also looked at the idea about near-death experiences, the light that people would see, seeing loved ones who had already passed beyond this life, seeing images of angels or of realms that they had never experienced before in this life. And there are many who would say that that is the pathology of the brain shutting itself down and firing different neurons and synapses as it's closing down when a person is dying. This doctor said that you can look at this two ways. You can look at it that this is just a biological response to the body dying. Therefore, it doesn't really mean anything. Or you can look at it as the fact that we are wired to be able to receive that which is beyond our understanding. Things that are supernatural, maybe paranormal is what you'd like to call it. Certainly things that maybe we haven't experienced consciously in this life we're walking around in. He said, perhaps we're just wired to our Creator. So that when those things happen, it's not just an interpretation that we make of a biological process. It is a biological process that reveals to us our spiritual connection, if you're following along with me on that. And I'm sticking to that idea because it's fine with me to reroute some of my neural pathways that have been focused on that negativity bias. I would just as soon not. So he says in our article here that if we start thinking about three good things in the morning when we wake up, three good things in the evening before we go to sleep, that we begin to reroute that negativity bias. He says our brains remain plastic or changeable even during adulthood, contrary to what many believe. We simply need to deploy our intention. So you have the opportunity to set that intention to change your mind toward noticing that which is good, noticing that which brings you joy. The thing that comes along with this is the idea of acceptance. And those of you that are familiar with a 12-step program, and even those of you that are not, have heard the Serenity Prayer. And the first step of the Serenity Prayer is God grant me the wisdom to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So accepting the things that we can't change is crucial to us. It really, that even precedes our intention of finding the good. Because when we start to accept things the way they are, we can begin to see something more than that negative bias. When we start to accept that, yes, we have a virus that is going on and it is affecting a lot of people worldwide. It's greater than anything we've experienced in most of our lifetimes. And we can't do anything about that. We can hold in truth that the good is on its way. In this case, it's vaccines that look promising. We have the opportunity to accept things the way they are, that there's a virus out there that is contagious, and we can protect ourselves and others by doing things that are prescribed for us to do to protect ourselves and others. And so that's one reason why I am doing this talk from home instead of from our beautiful church building. It's because I'm trying to practice my wisdom and accepting that we are now in stage 4 of protecting ourselves, and it's best for me to stay at home. It's kind of hard to say, yes, I'm 65 or older, but here I am. And here I am recording this video for you, because it's the wise thing to do. I'm accepting things the way they are. I'm setting an intention that this is good, and that God is giving me through transcendent presence and immanent presence. God without, the God of the universe, and God within, the Christ Spirit that lives in me, to bring this talk that might enrich your life in one way or another, even if you just catch one thing that shifts your thinking. Wouldn't it be amazing if you heard something today that began to shift your mind so that you could work with the plasticity of your brain and start seeing life differently? So far we've got gratitude, we've got acceptance, we've got intention to be able to find the good everywhere we can, as often as we can, about as many things as we can, in a way to keep our brain more elastic, more plastic. Let me just give you an example of the opposite of that is when our thinking and when our brains become crystallized. You think about a crystal formation, it's rigid, sometimes it's brittle, it can break. It is certainly the opposite of plastic and malleable. And so we're never too old to begin to shift our thinking, to begin to let our heart speak to our mind, which speaks to our heart, so that these two things come together and allow us to live a life that's more fulfilling. There's no magic to this. This is about you deciding how you want to live. The last piece of this is non-judgment. And non-judgment is probably one of the biggest battles that we have as human beings. I don't know why it's in our nature to judge other people, but most of the time, the hardest judgment we pass is upon ourselves. Isn't that sad that we use our energy to judge ourselves? You see, I got to put that into practice just today because I recorded this whole talk about 2 hours ago, and somehow the record light didn't work, or I did something wrong and the talk was gone. Boom, just like that, into the ethers. So I spent about 92 seconds being really upset with myself for doing it wrong. And then I laughed because I remembered that I had just spoken about non-judgment and about not judging ourselves. We tend to compare ourselves to other people. And unfortunately, as we judge ourselves harshly, we hurt ourselves. It becomes something that fills us with guilt or shame. It makes us think less of ourselves than the perfect creatures God has created to be here on earth, unique as only an individual can be. Thankfully, there's an alternative. We can simply view the world and ourselves with open minds, open hearts, and adopt a sort of benevolent indifference. I want you to take note of that particular phrase, benevolent indifference. This isn't about being jaded or being crass or saying, oh, well, that's just the way it is and it's never going to change. That's not what it's about. We can have the gift of discernment. We're given the gift of discernment so that we can tell truth from lie, good from evil. We can tell the difference between that which is dangerous and that which is safe. And we're supposed to do that. We're built to do that. What we do in the act of judgment is we begin to put some energy on what we decide about a thing. And so let me give you an example of reading the newspaper or watching the news. If you find your adrenaline starting to crank up, if you find your heart rate starting to accelerate a little bit, if you find yourself starting to have imaginary conversations with the people on the TV or the people that they're talking about on the TV, then you have begun to move out of discernment and into judgment and into a waste of your good energetic resources. That's what the measure is. When you start having conversations with other people in your mind that are imaginary because they're not there, then you are using your energy in a way that is not beneficial to you or to anyone else. So it's important in our practice of non-judgment. So first of all, give ourselves a break. Oh, we must give ourselves a break. We must be able to learn to accept that we're going to make mistakes, that we're going to fall short of our own intentions and expectations, and that it's okay. We have an opportunity to start over the next day. We have an opportunity to start over the same day. One of the steps in the 12 steps is to take an inventory at the end of the day, look it over, see what you might have done differently, and then make amends or make it right. Forgive yourself, forgive another, make an apology, make an intention to live your life differently in the day to come. So this is a very important part of our spiritual life, and it's important to talk about it because we're entering a week in which we're not just giving thanks for what we've got already, but we're giving thanks for blessings to come. One of the things that we talked about in our Wednesday night class, and I talked about it again in Facebook Live on Thursday, is that we can take memories and let them be a current blessing to us now. You see, the trick with our subconscious is that it doesn't know time. It doesn't know space. That's why we can have a memory that's unpleasant and begin to have a body response to it as though it were just now happening. We can do the same thing in the other direction. We can remember times that were happy for us, times in which we were in the flow of things, truly enjoying it and losing track of time because we were so present to doing something that took our attention, it took our passion, it took our hands, whatever we were doing, whatever hobby, gardening, whatever it is, and using it to stay in the flow of life, to being in the present moment. This says that we tend toward an obsession of the past and future in ways that are maladaptive, distracting ourselves from being present. So we don't want to be maladaptive. We want to be adaptive. So while it's adaptive to savor those past pleasurable moments that we had and to learn from our mistakes, it's harmful to be stuck in that place of judging ourselves and having regret or having shame about something that happened. Whatever you need to do to work that out in your life, do it, whether it's with a therapist, a sponsor, a trusted friend, prayer on your knees, journaling about it, whatever you can do to begin to rid yourself of things in the past that are causing you regret and shame, do that thing. Because they are burdens we no longer need to carry around with us, and they keep us, they hold us back from the fullest expression of who we really are. Similarly, with thoughts of the future, it's adaptive to look forward to the future and to the good times and to plan to put food on the table, which means, you know, take care of our needs for the future. However, it's maladaptive to ruminate over thoughts that bring fear and anxiety. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Fear and anxiety have been living with us for months now, many of us. And so we're having to, again, reroute those neural pathways so that we can focus on what we can do now that will make our future less anxious. To begin to notice our feelings of fear and anxiety and ask us ourselves, what is causing this? And what can I do instead that will let me be in this present moment instead of a future that has not yet happened? You know, you've heard the old sayings about worrying about things that have not yet occurred. And we could get ourselves all worked out about something that hasn't happened yet. So stay here. Stay now. Happiness is right here in the present moment. And so if you think back to the things that have made you happy, and I would even go beyond that because happiness can be fleeting, but the things that have brought you joy, and think on those things. Remember that you were fully present while that was going on. You were not focused on the past. You were not focused on the future. You were in that present moment. And a lot has been written about the idea of flow, of being able to be in the present moment as often as we can by doing things that engage us fully. In our spiritual life, can engage us fully if we so choose, if that is our intention, if we're living a life that's filled with gratitude. Again, that's not just giving thanks, but that is living from a generous heart, an open heart, looking for things that bless us. That's what a life being present looks like. And it might be a habit that needs to be broken, but I can tell you that it will gain its own momentum if you start looking for things to be grateful for. They don't have to be big things. They can be a small thing. I have to tell you that I so love my Nespresso coffee in the mornings, that I have a little tiny Nespresso machine, the smallest one they make, that I travel with, because I love that treat in the morning. I don't drink alcohol, I don't drink sodas, but boy, do I love my Nespresso coffee with the foam on the top. Oh, the best thing. So when I'm having that cup of coffee and I'm enjoying those first few sips, that is an excellent start to my day, and I can give thanks for it. Thank you for my coffee. Before I can get out of bed, I can say thank you for the coffee that is on its way. So this is something that we can do. We can be grateful. We can, make sure I'm following along here. We can practice acceptance. We can set an intention, and we can practice non-judgment. Jon Kabat-Zinn was a great mindfulness teacher and a scientist. And he said that mindfulness means paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. He says, by focusing on the breath, the idea is to cultivate attention on the body and mind as it is, moment to moment, and so help with pain, both physical and emotional. So by embracing and employing the elements of gain, we become more mindful, resilient, and happy. And I just want to know if that would be okay with you. I know that some of the things that I have done that have brought me the most joy are things where I was practicing all of that at the same time. And one of those was scuba diving, in which I had to be present, because if you're not present when you're scuba diving, you can get messed up with your equipment. You can start worrying about whether or not you've got enough air without just paying attention to your gauges. You can miss this amazing universe that is in our living oceans. And why would we miss out on that? To be able to accept that that life is living without any concern for us. There it is. We can be grateful for the colors and the variety and the changing nature of the ocean environment. We can set an intention to be mindful divers and to also pay attention to every single thing that our eyes can take in. And we can practice non-judgment about whether or not we're doing our diving experience correctly. Am I doing my flippers right? Oops, I touched a coral. I didn't mean to touch a coral. And so I'm using kind of a real world example to show how we can practice G-A-I-N in our everyday lives. And the other example I would give you is horseback riding. Horseback riding requires you to be in the present moment. And if you're not, your horse will let you know. I have gone off my horse a couple of times because I wasn't present. I was in fear. I was letting my mind wander. I was not focused in the present moment on the partnership that I have with my 1,200 to 1,400 pound animal, which I'm sitting on, to be at one with. So So those are the two examples I can give you. And you've got your own. You've got your own about the times when you haven't been present and the experience was not as enjoyable, and the times when you have been fully present and your heart is full. So, beloved, as we go into this holiday week, I know that it's going to be a little different this week. We'll not be able to join with our family and friends the way that we have in the past. We're going to miss people. And I also want to add, as I spoke about last week, that we will find sorrow along with our joy. We will miss the people we can't be with. We will miss those that we celebrated last Thanksgiving with that are no longer with us on this plane. Like a friend of mine this week who lost her beloved husband. And my heart aches for her. But I also know that she is someone who is one of the most resilient people I know. And yes, Elizabeth, I'm talking about you. I lost my father less than a month ago. And I'll miss him. I'll miss him during this holiday season. But I also feel and know his presence. And so joy and sorrow can share your table. We've talked about this before, and that's okay. If you have memories of the past Thanksgivings that you've celebrated that bring you joy, hold that. And if it brings you memories that make you sad, hold on to that too. That's the richness of life, to be able to hold both of those and hold them together. Because it shows how strong we are. It shows how resilient we are. It shows what amazing creatures we are. So this week, give thanks for that which is. Accept that which is. Give thanks for that which is to come. Set an intention to experience your life with as much gratitude and looking for the good things as you can, to start reshaping that brain and live your life with that. Let's make sure we have that phrase right, with that sweet, benevolent indifference, so that we can see a thing, know a thing, experience a thing, and not attach all of our energy to it in such a way that we've taken ourselves away from the present moment and now we're in our judgment about it. Because, friends, we're going to fail. That's a part of our nature as human beings. It's so important that we are able to get back up, forgive ourselves, start a new day. And every day this week, you can do that. You can do that for the rest of your life. I hope that if this little talk today means something to you, that you'll share it with others, that it might benefit. And know that as we go into this Thanksgiving week, I'm loving you and blessing you and appreciating you. And I miss you. I would like us to now spend a little time in meditation on these things. And so I invite you to let your breath, as Jon Kabat-Zinn advises us, to let your breath carry you into your heart. And I'm just going to hold out my hands to embrace you as I have in the past. And if you in your sweet imagination want to embrace hands with me, we'll do that. And let your breath take you into your heart and into your body to discover the places where you might be feeling fear or pain, sadness, anxiety. And breathe into that place. Let your breath just be, so that it takes you where you need to go. A body that is breathing deeply and regularly cannot hold on to tension, stress, fear, anxiety, pain. So breathe. And I'm going to guide this meditation in this way, and I'm going to have my eyes open so I can talk to you. I'd like you to think of one good thing that has come your way today. One good thing. Give thanks for it. Let it fill your heart with joy and peace. And now I'd like you to think of one thing that's been hard for you to accept. Something that's hard for you to accept. Exactly as it is. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There are things with which we can affect change, but if there's something that you cannot change this week, just accept it. Let go of the energy of holding on to a result. And then just keep breathing. Just keep breathing as you let go. And now, will you set an intention in your heart to think of those three good things? 3 in the morning. Go ahead and add 3 in the evening. Add more throughout the day as you will. There is no limit to the things that we can be grateful for. Set an intention to look for the good, the small things to the large things. And breathe. And now, beloved, if you're holding judgment about yourself or another, in your next breath, can you let go of the judgment? Just let it go. Just let it be. Are you able to forgive yourself for any harm that you might have done to yourself or another? Are you willing to forgive another for any harm they may have done to you, intentionally or unintentionally? Just let it go. Maybe someone in the past, it may be someone in the recent past, it may be somebody in your life right now in the present. Let go of the judgment. And beloved, if you will, put your hands upon your heart so that you might love yourself. What a wonderful way for you to begin this week of Thanksgiving. What a wonderful way to know something that is greater than you might have ever experienced before. And so I am giving thanks in advance for everything that is yet to be manifested in your life. For surely it is coming to pass, all in God's good time. And breathe yet again. And now, beloved, I just extend my hands to you. And I wish you a joyous Thanksgiving. I'll be speaking to you on Facebook Live briefly on Thanksgiving Day. And I think you'll hear about another little something that we're planning for Thanksgiving. Know that I love you. I give thanks for you every day. And in pilgrim hands, we give thanks to the one, to the all, to God. And so it is. Amen.